Hello, you're very welcome to the Alison Spittle Show with me, Alison Spittle. Guess where I am? I am in a Premier Inn in Glasgow. Ooh, the glamour. I'll tell you more about that after the interview, because this week we got a doozy. This week we have James Kavanagh, and he was super kind to come on the show. For people that don't live in Ireland, and I know some people listen to the show that are not from Ireland at all, because I've been doing some gigs over in the UK, and sometimes I'm doing like preview gigs of Warrior Princess that's going over to Edinburgh in August, and people turn up and I'm like, why are you here? And some people listen to the podcast, which is super cool. So I've decided now I'm going to explain who people are properly. Because sometimes I just go, this person, because I know who that person is. And then I just presume everyone knows who that person is. So James Kavanagh, he, according to Google, he's an internet celebrity. But what he is absolutely gas. Like, he is hilarious. He's hilarious on Instagram, on Twitter, on Snapchat. I just knew he'd be a brilliant guest on the show, and I wanted him to be on the show for so long, and he very kindly agreed to come on to my show. This was a live show as a part of the Camden Backyard, sponsored by Copperberg, who have sponsored the show for the past while. So we had like a little party on Camden Street, and it was really fun. They did a great job kind of setting up the place, and I'll tell you more about that after the interview, but let's get into the interview straight away. Welcome from the Camden pop-up. Thanks to Copperberg. It's the Alison Spittle Show with James Kavanagh. Woo! So, James.
So, Alison.
Where were you?
I was in a bath with Amy Huberman and Alison Bay.
Amy
in
Huberman?
In Dunleary. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, she's filming for her new show.
Okay.
And there's a scene where I'm in a bath with her friend, and she finds us, and we're not doing nothing now. But she finds us and something happens and I don't know how much I'm allowed to say, but that's why I'm late.
Okay.
I was literally in the bath. Yeah. Oh, did she? Yeah, so I'm not lying. I was really in the bath. Yeah.
Breaking news. how long were you in the bath for?
2 hours. How? Look at my hands. They're prune.
Can I smell them?
Yeah.
Very clean.
Fairy washing up liquid as well. They didn't even buy some Dove.
What?
Yeah.
That is a disgrace.
Apparently it's better for like film movie stuff. You probably know all this. Fairy bubbles are better than actual bath bubbles on camera.
I heard that.
I didn't know that. And cold water apparently is better as well. So it was 2 hours of freezing.
Oh my gosh. I remember when I was filming Nowhere Fast, we had a scene where we had to eat chicken dinner, but the art department had made the dinner 6 hours before. So it was really cold. It was cold and it had peas in it. And we had to do like repeat eats all the time. But it was kind of, I can't believe, what were your toes like? With the chicken dinner or whatever. Sorry.
My toes in the chicken dinner?
Sorry, your toes in the bath. I got distracted there.
Okay, yeah.
I got distracted. I'm so sorry.
My toes are wrinkly like my fingers.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so I'm quite wrinkled all over.
Cool.
I'm very clean.
You're a very clean man,
so
generally.
Clean. Yeah. Do you want to smell?
Yeah. You do smell nice. Very clean.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Like dishes.
I tried to. I was gonna ask you about. You're an influencer, but who influences you?
Who?
Like God or like?
Like I actually, it's so cliched now for influencers to say, I hate the term influencers, but I do because I think everyone influences everyone.
Yeah.
Like I was like walking down the street the other day and there was a child mashing Maltesers into her face. And I went and bought Maltesers straight after that. So that child is an influencer as well.
Amazing.
You know what I mean? So everyone influences, everyone around me influences me, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. You influence me.
What?
Yeah.
How have I influenced you?
I'm under
though?
The influence of you right now.
Well, it's just because I'm a bit... I'm quite potent. So I am. I'm quite potent. Thank you.
The banger influence off you right now. Yeah.
The smell of want. The smell of want. You're the same age as me, so were you into Bebo when you were a young lad?
I was such a Bebo stunner queen. Like,
really?
For life, yeah. Like... I was obsessed with the loves. Remember you put the loves on each other's wall?
Yeah, yeah,
and you'd
yeah.
have to like collect. That was like the first time of likes. The first version of likes, I think.
Yeah.
Was the swapping of the love hearts. And I loved the flash box as well on Bebo.
Yeah, I just used to share Father Ted clips in the flash box and think that I was hilarious. you could only give away three, wasn't it? A day or
three a day, yeah. Yeah. And there was war over getting them. And also war over your top 10 friends.
Oh yeah.
Was there drama there for you?
I was a very big social butterfly, like as in I would be friends with people and then be sick of them after 2 months and then leave and go to another social group. Well, that's what I tell myself. I was probably very lonely.
Or were they leaving you?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I see it as me leaving them, Hit it and quit it, that kind of thing.
What did you have as your Bebo skin? Remember the way you could change your skin every now and then?
This is not good now, but I was mad into Morrissey. So I just used to have like topless pictures of Morrissey as my skin.
That's cute.
Yeah, but now I'm like, I'm so glad I didn't get a tattoo of him because I really wanted to when I was young. I've only got a tattoo of a ladybird, so I'm kind of grand.
I have a little tattoo of a cross here, a little prison tattoo.
Who did that to you?
My friend Adele did it to me. There was 10 of us. We were all down in a house party in Sligo when we were about 18, and she took out a little pin and a little pot of ink and did... little crosses on all of us. So all 10 of us have them now. But
wow.
It was 5 in the morning, everyone was locked, and she had to go over 3 times with the pin, and it scratched my bone, like, each time
went in,
getting drunker as each time went by. So
it's a
little bit wobbly, but it's nice.
I love her that, like, she must have been sober bringing that tattoo kit to the house party. And then waited until she was drunk to bring it out.
I love how you say kit. It was literally a needle found in a drawer. And
Oh my God.
Well, we'll go with tattoo kit. That sounds more nicer.
It does. I felt like my tattoo, I got it in Newcastle in a tattoo shop across the road from a Weatherspoons. me and my friends got in too early off the plane and we had to wait until like 2 o'clock to check into our hotel. So we went in and had a few jugs of cheeky Vimtos and then got a tattoo and then checked into our hotel. But we all have different tattoos. One friend has like birds flying very near her vagina, but it's on her hip.
Okay.
So I just went for the ladybird on my hand.
Does it mean anything or is it just...
No,
cute.
You see, it has no dots on it.
Oh, okay.
And people mistake it for a radish or something like that.
Or a plum.
A plum, yeah. But the only reason it has no dots in it is because I was so drunk I was bleeding a lot and your man said I can't give you any dots.
Oh, I thought it meant something like you haven't found your dots yet or...
No, it meant like my blood was very thin with alcohol and
okay.
And he shouldn't have been doing that.
Oh, because you were locked when you went in.
Yeah, fierce locked. Yeah. We were having a look and your man was like, I'll give you a discount. We're like, yay. So we all got
She's
tattoos.
A bleeder. Don't do the dots.
I'll put that on my poster. She's a bleeder. So I'm going to look for my notebook
now. Notebook.
I did because I wanted to prepare.
Yeah.
Because I'm very happy to have you guys here. So you were born on the 17th of July. Yeah.
I was.
I researched that
How
about
do you, know?
You. I Googled you.
Is my birthday up there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That's how I know you're the same age as me.
Okay.
So I was like, uh-huh.
What's your star sign?
I am Gemini.
Cancer.
It's my birthday today.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I knew it was your birthday, Stella. I didn't know it was your actual birthday today.
Yeah, I wanted to be genuine with these people and do it actually on my birthday.
Have they sang you happy birthday?
We did it to waste time before you came.
Okay. How many times?
Just the once. I felt it was enough. Imagine if I said, we're going to...
Happy birthday.
And now we'll do the national anthem. Shayna Fina Fall. I can never get past the first line. I'm desperate.
Did people sing Who the Fuck is Alice when you were growing up?
They used to sing, Alison, I want to talk to you. Alison, I'll be for it. I don't know what that's from.
I don't know that one.
Oh, it's from Get Over It. Do you remember that film? No.
No.
The protagonist. Okay, so it was like...
It's good?
It is. Cisco's in it, yeah. Cisco. Cisco is in it. I can't name anybody else. Did you say that? Yeah. It was... It's not the best, you know. It's like those late 90s films that don't age well.
Yeah.
Where they're like, I gotta get with this girl, man. And then they're like, she's no agency or anything. She's just a possession that they... Anyway, sorry, I'm just reading it far too much.
Would you recommend it?
Would you recommend it?
Just the once.
It's
not a repeat watch.
No. Okay. What was your favorite teenage film when you were younger?
Favorite teenage film? Oh, my God. I think Titanic, because Jack Dawson was my sexual awakening.
Really?
Oh, fully, yeah. Even when he's frozen and all, I'm like, oh, I want to warm you up.
Stillwood.
Yeah. No, he's gorgeous. Yeah. I was in the cinema crying / hiding a boner. Like, what? My first. Ship's going down. No. Yeah, so I think that was my favorite. I watched that a lot.
Nice.
Yeah, I used to imagine Jack was being drawn, not Rose.
Oh.
Just to try and, you know.
Paint me like one of your French lads.
Yeah, I wish. Why wasn't he being drawn?
Yeah, that's true. And he can have like the heart of the ocean, like a necklace.
Imagining Jack as Rose with the heart of the ocean? Isn't it gorgeous?
Like,
see,
it's genuinely a cliche thing to say, but there was enough room for him on that door.
I know there was. They tested it. Yeah.
He took, I think he just wanted out at that stage. He was like, geez, if we both get saved together, I'm going to have to stay with her for all of my life. You know?
He actually just sank and swam to something else.
Yeah, to Bermuda.
Fuck that bitch.
I'm trying to think of I loved Scream 2, was it? When I was a young one, I had a sleepover, and I tried to do a Ouija board. I was about 11, and one of my friends ratted on me to my mum, so that ruined the party.
And was she fearful you'd be contacting spirits?
Mate, like that's the two things my mummy warned me about, genuinely, right? Was writing men I wasn't in love with, right? Because she said you'll end up in the mental. And the other one was doing the Ouija board because you'll end up in the mental. She said, like, she knew someone who did a Ouija board and is now, like...
I think I knew someone that as well. Yeah.
Did you?
Growing up, I think it was one of those things, you know, someone's friend went mental after
that person was very popular because...
Everyone knew them.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're huge in the Ouija board circles.
Community, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever done a Ouija board?
I have. Yeah, yeah. And it definitely moved, and there was definitely a presence. It went, the air went chilly.
Oh my gosh!
The shot glass was flying around.
The shot glass.
That's what we used as the thingy.
Amazing. My friends used like a crystal chicken egg cup that is still in the possession of my friend's father. And so whenever he's a boiled egg, my friend looks at him and is like, "You could be summoning hell." You know? But he's just eating an egg, you know?
No one ever uses it. Like, in the movies, they have all these gorgeous, like, ivory Ouija boards. I think everyone who, in real life, just has the top of a Jägermeister bottle and just scrawled out letters. But no, we contacted them. We got a name, I think it was...
What was the name?
It was Emily or something.
Emily?
Yeah, but we all swore, like, we weren't the ones swinging it around.
Yeah.
Did you contact the afterlife?
A fellow called Adam.
Adam?
Was it Adam? No. Adam and then Rourke. But he spelt it. It was like he spelt
it. Was Adam O'Rourke maybe the same guy?
Yeah, well, we said that he spelt it A D A G I M, and we were like Adagum, and he was like, and we were like, "Is your name Adam?" And he went, "Yeah." So it was a bit rusty on the old spelling, you know. So we had to prompt him a bit.
And did he tell you any secrets of life?
He told me he liked tea, and didn't like the English. That was the thing he didn't like.
So he might have been a rebel.
We fought that. I think we were pressing something onto him rather than... It's mad, like, you know, the whole 1916 and rebel stuff. And like
That jazz.
And, like, everyone wants a family member that is Michael Collins, do you know?
Yeah.
They go, like, my granddad's Michael Collins when, you know, probably wasn't or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you have any interest in... I feel like you'd know who your great great grandparents are.
Do you know?
My grandparents did.
No,
a
but
bit
do you know who mine are?
No.
Oh, I thought this was from a Google search or something. Yeah. I'm like, tell me.
And they're here tonight.
Ah, Granny.
We're getting a Ouija board out. It's the Kavanaughs. I feel like because you're into antiques and stuff like that, you would.
I'm
you would
into have it and all. Well, yeah. I actually did. You know those ancestry DNA kits?
Yeah.
And didn't work.
Didn't
there
work.
No, I found like a fourth cousin or something in Scotland, but I was like expecting to find out I'm French royalty or something like that.
Yeah.
No, hit a wall. Doesn't work. Apparently, those DNA kits. You know the DNA kits you see. They won't be useful to us until like 20 years from now, until the more of the world has their blood on the bank. If you know what I mean.
Right.
So they can start making proper connections because this whole thing of it is only out about 5 years. So that more people need to be spitting and donating their spit. Blood and stuff. So do the antique or the DNA things because it'll be useful in 10 years or 20 years.
Isn't that how they found the Golden State Killer? Wasn't it some guy was on a he wanted to find out who his ancestors were? Yeah, and he took his DNA and they were like, oh, this lot like the DNA of a killer we know, and he's like, do you have any relatives that might have been a serial killer? And they found him. Like, he was like a cousin of someone.
So the serial killer was just like, oh, cute. I want to see who my ancestors are.
So that's why
that's
I won't do
foolish
it.
Foolish to be. If I was a serial killer, I wouldn't be donating my
no,
DNA.
It was a relative of his.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I won't do it now, because I don't want to rat out any of my family.
So it's a no from you.
It's a no from me. Yeah. Telling all my family, keep away. Keep away from the DNA. I got more. So do you want to know who was born on your birthday?
17th of July, 1989?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, of many years.
Of the 17th of July?
Yeah.
Yeah, who?
Angela Merkel.
Oh!
David Hasselhoff.
Oh, yeah, I knew that one.
Disneyland opened on that day in 1955.
Amazing.
Camilla Parker Bowles was born.
Not a fan.
I thought so.
Shut up. Is she actually born
on
my birthday?
She was actually born the 17th of July.
I'm a Diana bitch.
I know.
I'm offended.
Well, you're biologically a Camilla person, to be honest with you.
Yeah, wow.
How did you find out Diana died?
I'm obsessed with Princess Diana. And my cat is called Princess Diana Kavna. She's a little gorgeous little Sphinx cat. But I wasn't obsessed with her back in the day. And I remember I woke up and I walked into my mum's room and Sky News was on and she was in bits crying. And I was like, what's going on? She was like, Diana is gone. And then my brother walked by and he was like, why are you in bits and a ball, mum? And she was like, Diana's dead, Paris, you know. And he was like, all right, and walked on. But I knew there was something, I knew it was something big.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you find out?
I put on the telly, it was the day before we got back to school. And it was my last day of the summer holidays. And I was like, happy days. And I popped on the telly, it was GMTV. And I knew it was bad because the newscaster was crying. So I was like, I didn't know who Princess Diana was, but I ran in to my dad, who was sleeping in his bedroom, and I ran in. I went, Dad, Princess Diana is dead. And he goes, no. And he goes,
no.
this is the thing he said. He went, not her, not now. And I was like,
what was he expecting to happen?
I don't know. I don't know.
Damn it, my plan. Not now.
I must ask
I was going to
him.
Wed her.
I must ask him about
that. Plan on breaking her and Dowdy up or something?
Probably.
Thank you so much to Copperberg for sponsoring the show. They also put on a great weekend. It was a Camden pop-up weekend and they had myself and James Kavanagh and Warren O'Connell doing a live version of the podcast in front of an audience. You're listening to it now, sure, you know yourself. But the cool thing was that they had like this crocodile statue and a ball pool for adults. And I jumped in to the ball pool and I had a good time. But then I felt something click in my hip and I was like, oh, Alison, no. Don't injure yourself in an adult ball pool. Get out. So I got out and everything was grand. But yeah, really, really good. I also had a few free beverages. Actually, everyone had a free beverage at the pop-up. And there was bits of cucumber. There was the new elderflower and lime flavour and there was bits of cucumber in it on a cocktail stick. And lads felt very sophisticated. And then there was the mixed berry flavour, which had strawberries served in it. And it was really good. And it was a really hot day. And you know what? I had a ball. So thank you very much to Copperberg for sorting it out. All right, now, back to the interview.
But come here, like, do you believe in any conspiracy theories? Because there's a lot going around about Diana.
Well, I've watched pretty much. I'm one of those, I'll go to bed at 11 p.m. and then 3 in the morning and I'm watching the 7th time I've watched Princess Diana's funeral.
Yeah.
Looking for clues and stuff.
Clues!
So, yeah, no, I've watched a lot of conspiracy theories on her and you would be led to believe that she was maybe bumped off. My uncle, my dad's brother, Uncle Eddie, was married to this woman called Annie, who was the chief nanny in Buckingham Palace in
what?
The 70s, 80s, and 90s. So this is kind of where my obsession grew. I knew about him and he was involved. And like he had an apartment within Buckingham Palace. And he was right by his wife's side as she was raising Prince Harry and Prince William. He has loads of letters from Diana. He actually passed away recently and I'm getting some of the letters. So I'll let you know what's going on. Yeah, but no, he says to me when he was alive, not through the Ouija board, that she was killed. He says that. And he's, you know, he lived with the royals during that whole time of the marriage breakdown. He says 100% she was killed.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you heard it here first. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I believe it now.
Yeah, no, fully. And that's someone who was as loyal to, say, Charles as, you know, Diana. He was like really factual. Oh no, she was bumped off. There was too much attention on her. She was taking the attention away from the actual royal family. She was the star. They weren't.
Yeah.
So it was very convenient if it was an accident.
Oh, it was a very good idea to kill her because that really got the attention away, like, at that point.
I mean, it worked.
People are no longer interested. That is so weird.
Yeah. So my cat, she lives on in my cat now.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Does your cat have any attributes you feel that are like Diana?
Gorgeous blue eyes. Okay. Honestly, I actually bought the cat last October when it was in the womb of the mum cat.
What?
Yeah.
You did a pre-order.
Yes. And I contacted this woman from Wales and I was always going to call the cat, because I didn't know if it was going to be a girl or a boy, I was always going to call the cat Princess Diana Kavanagh. And the fact it was from Wales, Princess of Wales.
Absolutely.
It was all perfect. And I was like, well, even if it's a boy, I'm still calling her Princess Diana Kavanagh. And then it was born, and then she sent me this picture, and I swear to God, I'll show you, Diana's in her face.
Oh my God.
She's you know the way Diana did that kind of eye look up thing?
Yeah,
The cat is doing the Diana eye look up thing.
Oh my
God. And has this icy blue look in her face and Diana's in her face.
So she's like...
So it was perfect. Sometimes I look at her across the room like, Diana? I said, what are you trying to tell me? Are you trying to communicate something to me?
And she's like...
She's looking at me.
She's like, there's 3 people in our marriage. That's what she's trying to communicate.
It was a bit crowded.
Yeah. So... I've taken it's an expensive cat. What's it like dealing with an expensive cat? Like, you know, if it gets run over, are you like, oh, the money as well?
Yeah, she can't be let outside.
Yeah.
Hairless cats can't because they're freezing.
Okay.
I had to get her a mat that you plug in that lizards usually lie on that you'd put in the bottom of a lizard case to keep them warm. So Diana lies on the heat. It's like an electric blanket for lizards and cats.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So she wouldn't be going outside anyway. Like the window's open and she goes, ugh, not for me. And she slinks back onto her little electric blanket. So there's no fear of her going outside and losing the money.
Okay.
Yeah. No, went down to Rosslare, got the ferry from Rosslare to Fishguard, 3 hours on the water, met the cat lady, collected Diana, got the ferry back. So it's like 9 hours travelling. So I'm very attached to her.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, isn't
that's
it?
Beautiful. How was the boat? Is there a Burger King on that boat?
Oh, no. It's kind of grim.
I find boats to be very grim.
Yeah, and it's a massive boat, and there was only about 20 people on it, and they all looked real shifty. And I'm kind of like, why aren't you flying? You know, like I got the boat. I got the boat to get my Sphinx cat. They're all kind of missing an eye, and they're all kind of just going around the boat. I was unnerved on the boat, and I was hungover as well, so I was a bit fiery.
They love cats too. They're all like
no, they weren't all going over to get cats.
Yeah, I used to get the sail.
Shifty.
I used to get the sail and rail because it's cheaper than the planes if you go on short notice. And I've never been asked so much whether I'm a virgin or not while on the boat.
By who?
Creepy men.
Really?
Yeah.
Creepy hot men or creepy men?
No. No.
Because if you're hot, you're like,
no hot man has ever asked, excuse me, are you a virgin? I want to know your virtue. So I did.
Very fair.
Yeah, I don't
Creeps
even
are always minging.
I don't even know what answer they want. Like, do they want me to go yes?
Did you answer?
No, I like walked away. Like, you know, it's like I don't like I. What did they want me to do on that boat? Like, yes, I am. Will you ride me, please?
Behind the Burger King.
Behind the Burger King. In front. Yeah, yeah. And I love the way they name boats after like weird, not weird writers, but Irish writers. It makes Ireland sound very kind of upmarket.
So what, Stena Line? Is that an Irish writer?
Irish Ferries.
Stena Line.
No, they have like Oscar Wilde and W.B. Yeats.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm more of an Irish Ferries girl now. You're Stena Line, are you?
I got the Stena Line, yeah.
You're Protestant now. That's what that is.
I actually went to a Protestant boarding school.
In Westmeath?
Yes, Wilson's.
I looked it up.
Is that in the notes?
It is in the notes. Yeah. So tell me about your adventures in Westmeath. I'm from Westmeath. So
do you know Multi Farnham?
I do.
There are more Multi Farnham Westmeathers in here. Woo! Oh, a lot. Mullingar.
Wow.
And did you know Multi Farnham? It's a mad little village, isn't it? Yeah. It's quaint.
I looked at the website when I was 11 because my mother was like, feck it, well, you could go to a posh school if you want. And they had like, did you board or did you travel up and down?
Every morning to Mullingar.
Every morning to Mullingar?
No, I'm... Did you really think I would have went from Dublin to Mullingar every morning?
Well, people do it from Mullingar to Dublin now when they commute.
Ah, yeah, true. No,
boarded.
I boarded down there. Yeah.
What's boarding like?
It's. I was kind of sent. But it was the time. It was around the time the Harry Potter stuff was happening, and I was like, "Oh, Hogwarts! I'm going to Hogwarts."
Yeah.
No.
It's no.
Not Hogwarts. No.
What's
it's like, I don't know, Fair City did Hogwarts or something like it. Yeah. Yeah. But it was fun. It's like having a sleepover with your friends all the time. And sometimes there's vodka and sex in the chapel. And
what?
Yeah. Yeah. It was debaucherous at times.
How many beds were in each
a room?
Room?
In mine, there was two. It depended on each year, but there was two, three, four. Four is the max.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, like, how did you...
Do your bits?
Yeah.
It was actually kind of disturbing, so...
Yay! Yeah. My favourite type of story.
So you'd go into... Because, you know, we were all teenage boys, whatever, and you'd... people would be going for their... At night, and you'd go into the bathroom. You'd say if you wake up at the bathroom at, like, 3 a.m. or whatever, there was... Each toilet had a boy in it.
Oh my god!
Yeah, and then they'd leave or whatever, and you'd go in, and the walls would be dripping in jizz.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Oh yeah. My god!
You know the way, like kids, if you go into a kid's bedroom, there's sometimes snots on the wall. This was a waterfall of jizz
on
the walls. Yeah. Oh. I'm like, use a tissue. They're like jizzing on the wall. Like.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That is not the answer I was expecting.
No.
It just reminds me of like the Aloe Caves with stalactites and stalagmites.
Oh my God, it was. It was like, do you know in 777, that candelabra with
yeah.
the like dripping candle wax. Yeah.
What did you do on school tours then as a boarding school? Did you go and sleep over in other places?
we went to Rome once.
Oh.
Yeah, which was nice.
How was that?
It was good. We're in fourth year, I think, and we got violently locked on the limoncello vodka stuff that they have everywhere.
I had
to get an injection going back on the plane because I was like being carried out of the hotel.
So I got in a lot of trouble. This is like Pulp Fiction.
Some doctor. I remember being on the bus and Mrs. Eager, one of the teachers, was holding me down. I was like, because we had drank right up until the plane, like, thinking we're on a stag. And we're like 16. Hoofing the limoncello into us. So I remember getting this. It was like an adrenaline shot to stop me.
Oh my God.
Being mad out of it on limoncello. Yeah. Oh,
Jesus.
Oh. So that was fun. That was fun.
Okay. Yeah. I went to Clara Lara. Have you ever been to Clara Lara?
I loved Clara Lara. Yeah, I went a few times. Is it still open? Because I heard the thing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Is it still open?
Oh, is it?
For real? Like.
Have you been recently?
Can you go as an adult without any kids? I would go there again.
Would we go together?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Let's.
Done.
Yeah. Shake your hand.
Shock. They witnessed this now.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to go back to the notebook. Wait there. Oh, I asked Julie this, right?
Yeah.
Pretending to be you. I was like, Currabini. What kind of food does Currabini make? She said curry. She was wrong.
Curry Binny. No, we make very Irishy food. So William trained down in Ballymaloe, so he's very into, you know, there's a lot of butter, a lot of Irish ingredients. It's very local, that kind of thing. It's actually named after where William's from in Cork. William's my boyfriend. We met, it's funny, we don't have a really very romantic story. We met in Grindr. We met up a couple of months afterwards. We were just chatting, and he was in the Ballymaloe cookery course. I was working for Barry's Tea. So we were both kind of in food world at the same time, and we knew we wanted to, we both decided we wanted to start a cafe and a business, and we were down in Currabini in Cork, and that's where we dreamt it all up. And Currabini is very like Enid Blyton-y. You know, there's a little pier outside William's house, and if you want to get bread and milk, you have to get in a little boat and row across to the shop.
No.
It's very, very Enid Blyton-y, and, you know, the mum would be baking something in the kitchen. And so we were like, you know, William used to fish for mackerel as a kid. It's, you know, you grow your vegetables in the garden. It's very Irishy. So we decided to call it Currabini. I'm from Nutgrove. So
right.
Nutgrove, you know.
That's great. You got the Tesco's nearby. You can get all the ingredients you want there.
No, Currabini's like mackerel on the pier, rowing to get your flour. Nutgrove is very bag of cans and McDonald's in the park. So I don't know. Nutgrove wouldn't have felt right for the name of the brand. So we decided to go with Currabini.
And you got a cookbook coming out.
We got a cookbook coming out. Yeah.
So tell me about the cookbook.
The cookbook. Yeah, it was all shot down in Currabini. We're working on it for the past 2 years. It's a collection of recipes from both of us and from our mums as well. Our mums have recipes in it too. We did it with Penguin. Shot it all recently, sent it off to get printed, and it's out in October. So will you buy one?
Yeah, I would. Yeah. Or you could give me one, I don't know.
Or you could buy one.
So when you say shot it, were you doing the photos?
No.
How does that work? Or when you were making your food, did someone like put... Did you ever hear about like food photography where
varnish and chickens and all,
or like a steaming tampon they put into the food to give it like the illusion of heat?
Yes, you'd put a tampon into boiling water and put it behind the soup bowl. So when you're taking the picture of the soup, the tampon steam is rising kind of at the back of the bowl, but it looks like soup steam, but it's tampon steam. Now we didn't actually do any of that.
No.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a chicken. We cooked a full chicken and it's raw in the middle, but we cooked it so the kind of skin looks perfect.
Yeah.
So that's the only kind of trick we've done. But no, we had a food photographer who was brilliant, Brid O'Donovan, another fine Cork woman. And yeah, it was good. It was interesting. It was an interesting process.
I'm glad. I'm glad you're like you're keeping it natural and keeping away from, like, apparently to put glue in for milk. Because apparently glue looks more like milk than milk looks like milk.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
McDonald's burgers have Botox and stuff like that to kind of plump them up. And
of course,
we didn't do any of that shite messing.
And I met you on Ireland's Got More Talent.
Yes.
How did you like Ireland's Got More Talent? Was it fun?
It was. And Michelle Visage was one of the judges who I'm obsessed with.
Yeah.
So I was delighted to be existing alongside her on camera. So yeah, it was fun. It was mad. It was mad from going from, like, because this all began from me in my bedroom on my phone.
Yeah.
Sounds a bit dodge, but no. Me Snapchatting in my bedroom on my phone. And then, you know, 2 years later, and I got offered the presenting job for Ireland's Got More Talent. So that was mad and fun.
What was the first thing that kind of went viral for you then for Snapchat? Or what was the first thing that made you go, oh, this is cool, this could be?
It was my sex tape going viral.
Your sex tape?
Yeah. No, I'm joking. It was me scaring my boyfriend William. That's how it all started. So I used to creep behind doors and just jump out at him, and he's very animated when he gets scared.
Yeah.
So literally that's how the following happened. People were like, oh, follow him. His boyfriend does a good scare. And I downloaded some of them and put them on a YouTube thing, and it went viral, and Alex Zane from RudeTube came over and interviewed us. And
right.
And then it just all kicked off from there. So I owe my life to scaring William.
That's
literally
amazing, because now you know people love looking at your cups, or when you make tea and stuff like that.
Do little tea tutorials and cup tutorials.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is there anything you're thinking of coming up with next? What can you teach us?
What can I teach you? Well, I just did a tutorial on how to make the perfect cup of tea. It's very, because I used to work for Barry's Tea, so I learned loads from the master tea blender, this guy Dennis Daly. Have you heard of Dennis Daly? No?
I've heard of him now.
Didn't do the best job in PR. So this guy, Dennis Daly, we went down to the Barry's Tea factory and met this man. And he's the master tea blender in Barry's Tea. He literally has this office in the Barry's Tea factory in Cork. And you'd go up to him and he had a long table up against the wall. And it's his job to taste the tea every single day. That's all he does. He's about 80 and he's been doing it since he was about 20. And I walked into the room and he had this long table of 60 white cups. And he does this on the hour. And there's an old woman who pushes a trough behind him with a little hairnet on. And he goes along and goes and spits in the trough as she's kind of pushing it. And he goes on, and she just walks after him. And this happens on the air because he has to make sure the tea is consistent because it's tea leaves.
Yeah, of
course.
So
he makes sure the red box tastes like the red box all the time, perfectly. So I learned loads of tips from him, and I made a tea tutorial.
Yeah.
Just go watch it. Yeah.
I should ask you about your brother as well.
My brother.
Because he trains Conor McGregor.
He does.
Do you know the way siblings kind of like, I was going to say get a bit violent with each other, but...
We had a very violent childhood.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me more. Did he give you a slap?
He threw me around the place because he had just gotten into MMA, or the kind of the beginnings of MMA, and he used to watch this UFC videotape on loop. So he'd see someone throwing someone against a wall or the back of a cage, and he'd be like, James,
oh
over
my
here.
God.
Yeah, and I was his living punch bag. So he'd like see an arm bend or whatever, and he'd like grab me as he's watching the video, and I'm like,
oh my God.
And he's like seeing how far he can bend it back without breaking it or whatever. He'd always wait till my parents were out of the house, clever bitch. I kind of would like to think I'm sort of responsible for Connor's success, because John would have practiced all the techniques on me, which he then passed to Connor. So you're welcome, Connor.
It takes a village.
Yeah, to raise an MMA star. Yeah.
Amazing. I was going to ask about...
I have a question for you. Are you
go for it, please.
Are you making another series of the show?
As they say in showbiz, no news is bad news. So
no.
So yeah,
I loved it.
I don't know. RTÉ have to like.
They have to do the knocking.
They have to, yeah.
They call you, not you call them type thing.
Yeah, and it's like I'm okay though because I'm going to move to London now. So you're off. Yeah, yeah.
When are you moving?
Because I want an abort. No, I'm joking. no, we got that now. It's fine. I want a career.
But look at this.
I know. I'm so happy, but I want to try like writing over, writing TV and stuff because I really love doing it.
Yeah.
And I want to do it more.
Joanne McNally's off as well.
She is. Yeah. She is. She's
all the comedians are flocking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what you call a female comedian? Would you say they're just comedian?
I don't mind at all. Do you know what's weird? Is like when people, like you get questioned like, what's it like being a woman in comedy? And it's like. Grand until you asked. Like I don't know. do you know what I mean? And you don't want to lie to people and go like, "There's no problems being a woman in comedy." But you don't want to lie. But you don't want to you put people off either. Because the more women that do comedy, the better crack it is.
But you're leaving us.
Yeah, yeah. Because I don't owe you shit. I'm kidding.
Fair.
I'm kidding. Would you ever think about moving? To England, or are you happy here?
No, I love Ireland. Yeah,
I
my
love
dream
it too.
Is to move to Cork.
Cork,
properly relocate to Cork. Yeah, I love Cork. It's gorge.
Yeah,
do Cork people here. Yeah, whereabouts in Cork? Mitchelstown, where the cheese is.
Yeah. I went to Mitchelstown once with my stepfather in a lorry, and it smelled very bad. It did.
Were you smelling the cheese?
I don't know what it was, but like,
was it your dad?
No, my stepdad.
Your stepdad.
It was like, do you have like pig farms there or is there some sort of processing facility? Huh? There are pig farms. Cool. Pig farms smell bad. So they do. I once rode a pig. But
on the Stenoline.
Yeah. There was this really big pig and this farmer was like, jump on that pig's back. And I was like, that pig can't take me.
What age were you?
Oh, it was about a year ago. And he goes, no, it will, go on.
Why were you with the pig in the farm?
Because I was filming something. And they were like, go on, jump on that pig. And it was like the first time I ever had like a TV job and I didn't want to be a stick in the mud. So
can I see this footage somewhere?
It didn't make it onto the documentary.
Did you make it onto the pig? Did you mount
the pig? I did. I rode that pig for a good 5 seconds.
Did you?
Yeah.
Or was it like riding a bull? Like, did you?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Well, it kind of what happened was it kind of slips and slides, and then you just slip off the back of it, you know? And yeah. It's like a very alive kid slide.
Yeah.
That hairy as well. Very hairy.
They do pig racing down in Kildare.
Do they?
Yeah, with humans.
What's the maddest thing you've ever been to, actually? Because you get to go to loads of places with the Snapchat and the Instagram. Like, what situation have you ever went, Jesus, James, how did you get into this mess?
I'm definitely not riding a pig, anyway. Everyone's waiting with bated breath. I don't know if I've ever, because usually it's kind of in a professionally sense or whatever.
Yeah.
Come back to me on that.
I will.
I'm going to think.
I'll try and think about it.
Is the pig the maddest thing you've ever been in?
I don't think so. Let me try and think. Mm. Last week I did this festival and what's his name? Bob Geldof was there and we're in this posh place with cheese and he reached over me to get some cheese. And I was like, oh, the brie's amazing, Bob. And he goes, okay. And that was the end of our conversation.
Good networking.
Great networking. Yeah. I think I've made a lasting impression. So, yeah, I'm so bad with that type of stuff. But do you know what? You don't have to come up with an anecdote.
It's I'm just going to let you hang on the Bob and Brie anecdote.
Yeah, it's focused.
I can't think. If I think, I'll text you.
Yeah, do, and then I'll read it out. But, has anybody got any questions they would like to ask James, actually?
In the HB van. Oh, that was fun. Yeah, I was in a little HB van driving down O'Connell Street serving.
The sauce.
The HB ice cream.
Oh,
yeah.
I said HP.
I was just squirting sauce.
It's a very British sauce. If I saw a van with Big Ben on the back of it, I'd be like, oh no, not again. Going down O'Connell Street. HB, so you did like ice cream van type thing. Did they have a sink in the van? Was it hygienic?
It was this size. There was no, I was like this driving it. It was one of those tiny like kid things with a thing built over to make it look like a little mini ice cream van.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was no roomage for a sink or whatever.
Oh, cool. Cause
I just had a bag of ice creams and I was handing them out to the people.
Oh, so they were like in plastic coverings.
They were in plastic covers. Good. Yeah. It was hygienic.
Yeah. My mother would never let me go near the ice cream man because she's like, I've seen him piss out the window and, and there's no sink. You know, they're holding the cones and stuff. So.
Did you ever get 99s?
Yeah, when my mum wasn't there, yeah. Used to get like all the sauces, all the flakes. Life was good.
Did you get the red sauce?
Red and green.
And green?
Yeah.
I've never seen a green. Is it like mint?
Yeah, no, it's not a mint.
Shut up. Lime.
Yeah, it's very refreshing. If only you had elderflower too, that could be a perfect flavor combination. guys, I've had a great time. Thank you so much for being here.
Sorry for being late.
No, you're fine. Don't worry about it at all. Feck it. Were you panicking on the way?
Sweating.
I hate being late.
I'm late to everything.
And I hate being late in a taxi as well, because sometimes the taxi driver wants to talk to you and you're like, I just want to die. Leave me alone. Leave me alone to them. And he's like, oh, what great weather we're having. Are you off the telly? And I'm like, kill me. Kill me now. So I know. Actually, you should be like the new presenter of like... about the house or something. You know,
I'd love that. I love
the other fella's very old now at this stage.
Who is he?
What's his name? No. Isn't that Room to Improve, Dermot Bannon?
About the house?
About the house. He was a guy that used to make radio adverts going, the sea, you can't beat the sea. The sea will kill you. you know?
But are you sure it's called About the House or are you mixing something up?
Am I mixing something up?
You're like my mum. She, you know, she like in that movie, Something About Mary.
Yeah.
She was like, did you see that movie, Something Wrong with Mary? She twists her every little. Yeah.
And you're like,
so what is About the House?
Well, do you know what's his name? He fell off a ladder. He's okay, though. We'll never know.
We'll never.
Duncan Stewart! Duncan Stewart,
so
yeah.
I could be the new Duncan Stewart.
I want you to be the new Duncan Stewart.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah, let's make it happen. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much, James, for being here.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Thank you so much to Copperberg once again for sponsoring the show. Thank you so much to Sarah Garvey for producing the show. Alan Bennett is a part of Head Stuff who helps to make the show happen. Thanks very much to William Conway for the artwork and Bobby Ahern of The Monster Club who make the fantastic theme tune. So yeah, I'm really happy. So let's talk about why I'm in Glasgow. So lads, I just did The Stand and I met Michael Redmond. He plays Father Stone in Father Ted. But more importantly, he is a fantastic comedian. Like just a legend. Like, and it was just so great to share a stage with him. And I also got to do a preview of Warrior Princess before the Stand's normal night, the Sunday service. And I'm learning loads. And I just thought I'd treat this part of the podcast as like a mini diary of how I'm getting on with the show. I'm bringing over the Warrior Princess show to Edinburgh. Going to be a 5:15 in the Gilded Balloon. You can book tickets now. People are booking tickets and thank you so much. It's an honor because I'd say if they're booking tickets, they're probably the people that are super organized and are, you know, they've pre-booked all their tickets and they know what they're doing every day, and to have me involved in that, that's amazing. I'm really excited about it. There's so much work that goes into an Edinburgh show. I got a PR person that's trying to sort out press for me, because I don't know if you notice. I'm going to tell you anyway. I'm moving to London. I've probably said it. Yeah, I'm moving to London in September. And it's exciting, but it's really scary. It's really scary, actually, guys, because I love Dublin so much. But I just want to try and make a career of writing TV, because writing Nowhere Fast made me realise how much I love writing TV. And, you know, I'm going to miss Irish audiences the most. Actually, it's properly making me sad, because I'm properly spoilt with them. Because, you know, I did Body and Soul over the weekend. And, this is not bragging. I don't care. Fuck it. The tent was full. And I was just, overwhelmed and so happy. And I've done lots of stuff this year that I really love doing. And it's been mostly being the stand-up. It's just, that's the shit that makes me properly happy as well. But I have to give it a go over in London and see how I get on. But, so I'm giving it a proper go of Edinburgh. I'm trying to, make it as the show as good as I can, and sometimes I do totally self-sabotage, and I get into my head about thinking about making the show that I just kind of procrastinate to a terrible level, and I'm trying to break away from that for this year and try and do it properly. It's a scary thing as well to talk about the process of the show or what you feel is weak, because you don't want the audience to be able to go, oh yeah, she said she wasn't happy with that bit, and I can see why. Because I totally, if I'm chatting to a comedian and they talk about what their weak spots are, and then they'll go up on stage and do their set or whatever, I'd be like, I'll totally look out for that. So I shouldn't really talk about it that much. But so it's been brewing a long while, the show, and there's loads of bits that I'm messing around with, and it's not necessarily the funniest bits that I have are not cohesive with each other. They don't flow into a show, so I'm either going to have to come up with better bits that link them together, or drop some bits, and I don't know which bits to drop, and I don't know which bits to keep. I kind of don't know as well in my heart what the heart of the show is. There's two options that I'm not gonna tell you about. Maybe I'll tell you in a later episode and see how I get on. But it's really hard. I record myself all the time when I do different sets, and I did a set in Newcastle last week, and I did a set today in Edinburgh, an hour long set, and both have been really helpful. I treat it sometimes as an exercise in what UK audiences get reference wise, because I realise that Ireland and the UK, you know, we're geographically very close and culturally very close, but we're so different in our language. I forget that British people don't know what a hot press is, or gave out. Gave out is not a thing they use. I mean, they can get it, it's not it's a different language altogether, but it's just, you know, a half a second for them to get what the reference is, and a half a second in comedy is shite. I don't know. So that's how I'm feeling about the whole Edinburgh show. But I really feel like I'm very close to getting it right. I keep writing in the notebook, and I keep writing down little keywords, and I'm trying to. And today in Glasgow as well, I spent so much money fluting about. You know, the money you think you save with the air flights by the, you know, the air expenses by getting an early morning flight. You spend all that money on shitty Weatherspoons fry ups, and not that it is shitty. Feck it. I tried haggis for the first time today. and I feel that I haven't given it the respect it deserves by trying it in a Weatherspoons, but I did. And it's very sheepy for my tastes, but I like the texture. That's my review of haggis. But yeah, so do you know what? I'll stop talking now and I'll chat to you about it every week up in the run-up to Edinburgh. And so this will be another onus on me to progress, hopefully. Yeah. You have a lovely day. And if you're listening to this point, absolutely fair play to you. And if you're listening to this point, don't forget, the Vodafone Comedy Festival is coming up. And I really want to promote that festival. And actually, I'll have a quick chat about that. The Vodafone Comedy Festival in the Ivy Gardens is on the last weekend of July. It's actually going to be my last weekend living in Ireland because, you know, I'll head over to Edinburgh and then go to London. Well, that's the plan anyway. And I'm super, super excited about Vodafone Comedy Festival because I've been thinking about it. I have a big gra in my heart for women in comedy. I do. I just think they're brilliant. There's so many great Irish comedians you should listen to, including Julie J, who has a new podcast called Up to 90 with Emma Doran, who's another great comedian. But Julie J really helped me out at the Camden pop-up because James was a bit late and I literally texted Julie and said, please come and do some comedy. And I interviewed her for a few minutes as well. And she was just so professional and so quick and brilliant. But anyway, I do have a big love in my heart for with women in comedy in general. And the Vodafone Comedy Festival, it really seeks out who's doing well in Irish comedy, especially women. It really supports Irish women in comedy. It really gives them something to aspire to. It gave me something to aspire to. And it definitely gave, like Vodafone Comedy Festival in Ivy Gardens changed my life because I totally emailed on, like, when I wasn't feeling confident about comedy or whatever. And, you know, when you just get, like, that 10 minutes of just, I'm going to do it, I'm going to email them. And sure, the worst thing is they can say no. You know, and I should do a lot more of that, to be honest with you. But anyway, they gave me a shot and they gave me, you know, a slot. And it was the biggest audience I'd played in front of at that point. And, like, I did well. And then, you know, next year they gave me a slot next year. And, yeah, forever, forever thankful to Bren of Aiken Promotions and the Ivy Gardens because they were, like, the first major festival to take a chance on me. And I really appreciate it. But they also go, like, Bren goes to America. He goes searching out for these American comedians. If you look on the lineup, there's so many great comedians. Neil Hamburger. I saw Neil Hamburger twice, and I've seen people walk out of the show and I was crying laughing. Like, the man is just incredible. That character is just, it's just, if you're in any way into comedy and you're kind of into a bit of meta comedy or whatever, please go see him. And I think Blind Boy, and this is an amazing coup, Blind Boy's podcast, which, if you know it yourself, it's brilliant, it is fantastic. He's interviewing is it Greg Turkington who's the comedian behind Neil Hamburger after Greg does Neil Hamburger as a character. So you'll see the gig and then you'll see him talk about the gig. And Barry Murphy is emceeing. Like, that is going to be one of the best shows. There's also, like, a show of myself and Fern Brady and Ruth O'Kelly Hunter and Connor O'Toole she's amazing. She's American. Look, she's got a Netflix special. She doesn't need me to remember her name. She's fantastic. That's going to be a great gig. I'm also doing a gig with, like, Nicole Byer and Lottie Adefope. And look, lads, I'm properly happy. But what I'm saying is just have a look at the lineup and do a bit of Googling. Do a bit of research. Do a bit of, you know, figure out what you like yourselves and go see the shows in Vodafone and support it. Like, that's one of the most important festivals to comedy in Dublin, is the Vodafone Comedy Festival in the Ivy Gardens. It's a gem. It should be minded. It should be supported. Like, if you like Irish comedy, if you like comedy altogether, come see it. Come down, buy a ticket and go. And there's loads of free shows on. So Charlotte Regan's got a free show with the Irishman Abroad, which is a great podcast. I've got my own live podcast going out on the Thursday. And as soon as I find out who the guests are, I am working on it. And I'm working on getting someone that I really like and admire. But because I really like and admire them, I'm being tentative because I don't want to be hurt. I hate rejection. So, but as soon as I get that person or any person, like, I'll tell you. They're free tickets. I don't know how you can get the tickets yet. I know you can definitely, like, there's going to be Pop the Cherry lineup and In Jokes with Colm O'Regan and all these different fantastic Irish comedians that are on, and international comedians that are on in the Laughter Lab. You can make a proper day of it. Like, you can go watch free shows, go watch the paid shows. There's a hot dog stand there and alcohol. There's a thing called the Horse Box Theatre, which is like a four-seater theatre. Oh, this has just turned into a big, long advertisement. But I just want to say, like, of all festivals and everything, I just hit my chest there right there. Can you hear it? Yeah, that's how I feel about it. It's a slap your chest type of festival. Right, lads, I definitely should go. That's a super, super long hashtag apricot party. And good luck.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.